This show is sponsored by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Welcome to the Cullen Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cullen Economics Report.
Welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Cullen Economics Report. Corey and I are starting this week's show with our friend Dan Oliver. Dan, you brought up something when we were talking off mic about, we were talking about the election, we were talking about Hillary Clinton, we were talking about Barry Sanders, we were talking about Donald Trump, Jeb Bush, et cetera, et cetera. And the one potential black swan event that you brought out that could certainly change the dynamics of the election would be a major, major drop in U.S. economic activity and consequently a major, major drop in the various conventional stock markets in the United States. As you say, the economy today reminds you very much of what happened in our country in 1929. What do you think, Dan, are the odds of a drop of the magnitude that would actually turn the presidential election perhaps over to the Republicans?
Well, I think the chances are very high. I mean, as you mentioned, if you think about what happened in the 1920s, the Fed was a new institution. You had the fractional bank system newly primed, and it drove interest rates very far below their natural level. And as a result, you had a huge, huge credit bubble. And activity went up, and the stock market went actually crazy. The Federal Reserve got nervous about the stock market, not about the economy. The economy was sort of muddling along because you had all this overcapacity from all this, all these CapEx projects that have been put in place because of the low rates. So they started raising rates to rein in the market, and what they wound up doing was tanking the economy, and the market collapsed. And the parallel that I see is exactly the same. We've had for decades now a system where the Fed has kept rates vastly below where they should be, not just in the U.S., because the dollar is a reserve currency, it's the whole world. And this has created huge amounts of overcapacity in high-level capital goods like commodities and buildings and houses and all those sorts of things. And so the Fed's printing money to keep those prices up. Those prices want to fall because of the overcapacity. So the Fed's been printing money to keep them up. And as a result, the money's been going into the market. The market's been going crazy. You have all sorts of comments from all sorts of Fed officials saying, hey, the market is getting a little nosebleedy, especially in certain segments like biotech, and the tech industry is now looking like bubble 2.0. And so they're threatening to raise rates for the same reason that they did in 1928, 1929, which is not because their economic numbers show that the economy is overheating, which it isn't. All their numbers, in fact, show that things are contracting. If you look at trade numbers in South Korea or China or freight rates, those sorts of things, they're all contracting. So all these signals that the Fed usually uses to actually loosen conditions, but now they're saying, hey, we've got to rein in the financial markets. So they're threatening to raise rates the same reason they did in the 1920s. I think the result will be exactly the same, which is once conditions tighten, all this overcapacity will find no buyers, and you'll get a big market crash. Now, it's very hard to predict market crashes, I think, market movements, by looking just at the chart of the market, right? Markets are fractals. Trends reverse violently. You have lots of liquidity problems in terms of predicting that. So that, I think, is a very difficult thing to do. What I think is more easy to do is looking at the credit cycle and looking at what's happening in credit, in subprime lending, in emerging markets, those sorts of places, in trade figures. What you're seeing again is that these things aren't looking so hot, and if they start reducing liquidity now, I think you wind up in a big problem. And as you introduced this section, as you said, if the market has a big dislocation now, it's going to be very hard for Obama to blame Bush on it. I mean, Obama spent the first four or five years with presidency saying it was all Bush's fault. And I think it would be just delicious to see Obama leave the presidency in a financial crisis worse than the one that he inherited after 8 years of doing absolutely nothing to reform the system. It's very unlikely, I think, historically unprecedented for the party in power to retain power after you get a big market meltdown. You know, we're still a fair ways off from the election. These things won't happen overnight, but I think that's where we're heading. And to the extent that you do get a big dislocation in the economy, in the markets, I think that two things happen. One is it becomes very hard for the Democrats to win, but also it will increase the anti-incumbency feeling in the country. You already see how popular Donald Trump is, who has no positions that I can identify. I don't know what the man stands for, but people love him simply because he's not a Washington insider. And if you get big, big problems in the economy, and maybe, you know, militarily too, right? I mean, Russia now has moved into Syria, they've moved into Ukraine, the Chinese are taking over the South China Sea. So you've got all these international things that could flare up too. And I think if you get those big problems, then the anti-incumbency feeling in the country will intensify, and the chances that a rogue candidate might win, I think, rises dramatically.
Now, Dan, one of the biggest problems that I have with this increase in debt pretty much around the world is that this money has not been used to build out infrastructure, except for the fact that you could say that, you know, China has built out a lot of infrastructure. But in that sense, they've built out ghost cities and trains that, as you were mentioning off mic, don't exactly lead to anywhere useful. So it's one of these issues that I have when, excluding China from all this, you have this debt and money that has been used to keep the markets inflated and really help out either corporate balance sheets or bank balance sheets in the way that they can leverage this money and use it how they want to. And that's the biggest problem I have, that when, say, a credit call does come or the debt needs to be reset, well, the paper that's underlying it is sometimes only that, just paper.
First of all, infrastructure projects tend to be funded by politicians, which means they pay off their friends, and most of them get stolen through graft. And that's why, you know, world-class cities like New York, you can barely get to the airport. It's absolutely crazy. But that's what happens. They tax the money for infrastructure projects, and the projects don't happen because they steal all the money. But to your other point, I think it's also true that what the rates have done is it's convinced people, you know, CEOs of companies and financiers, they don't have the money to invest in real things. They use them to buy back their equity with debt, raise the equity prices of their stock. They get big option bonuses, right? They take the cash out of the company. And so the company becomes a much more rickety structure. And when the downturn comes and cash flow starts sinking, then you get this massive debt that's been used to buy back equity. And so then what happens is that your equity becomes much more vulnerable to a downturn. So I think that's another reason why the equity markets are so, so vulnerable here, because there's so much debt embedded in the corporate sector that's been used not to create assets, as you say, but to just simply funnel money into Wall Street and into the management class of these companies, which money has been extracted, is gone, right? They've taken it out of these companies and spent it or have it in their own bank accounts. And that's why I think people should be very cautious about their positions in the market.
I think a collapse is probably going to happen, but a collapse, you know, would be defined today as, you know, I mean, a 30 or 40% collapse would be, I don't want to say devastating, but it would certainly be dramatic. But, you know, it's happened before and it would just come back again. So I think for the long term, Dan, my opinion is the conventional market is not a bad place to be. Comments?
What an asset price is supposed to represent is the discounted future cash flows, right? And the rate at which you discount those cash flows has a huge influence on what your net present value is. And so if you look at the historical dividend rate on the S&P 500 going back to 1871, it's around 4.5%, right? We're less than 2% now. And so what that means is that just to get back to the historical average, the dividend rate would have to more than double. What's one way to double a dividend rate? Well, you halve the stock price, right? If you have a stock at 100 and the dividend rate is 10, it's 10%, right? And if the stock goes to 200, then that same $10 is now only 5%. And so changing the value of the stock changes your dividend rate. And what happened in the Great Depression when stocks went down 90%, 89% on the Dow, is precisely that. The dividend rate went from 2.3% to over 10%. And so the stock market had to go down 70% just to make that change. Assuming your cash flows were entirely the same
Dan, we need to cut this segment off. Unfortunately, we will get right back with you after this break.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Okay, open your mouth and say, ah.
Ah.
When your child has a sore throat, you need to know when to get help. The doctor-recommended Say Ah Sore Throat Exam is your solution. The scientifically designed oral retractor offers a clear view of the throat, relaxing the tongue, and minimizing gag reflex. Compare with a medical-grade chart, website, and app. Then you'll know just what to tell your doctor. A wellness plan in your hands in minutes. Go to SayAhNow.com. SayAhNow.com. The new mainstay for every family's first aid kit.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Do you owe the IRS money? Has the IRS garnished your wages or put a lien against your house? The IRS has the power to make you pay back what they claim you owe and will stop at nothing to collect. There is a solution. Call Signature Tax now. Speak with our professionals and feel the weight of your tax burden lifted from your shoulders. Call now for your free and confidential analysis. 800-481-3147. Again, that's 800-481-3147. 800-481-3147.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Hi, this is Walt Augustinowitz. I'm the founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. By now you've heard our commercials about wallets that protect you from electronic pickpocketing. 10 years ago, I created a way to protect my own cards from prying eyes after government officials started talking about issuing a national ID card with a built-in radio chip called RFID. I felt having to broadcast my personal information was an invasion of privacy. Soon after, it was also announced that credit cards, debit cards, U.S. passports, hotel room keys, and even transit passes would all soon incorporate RFID. It was then I formed ID Stronghold to share my inventions in blocking RFID signals with the world. There are a lot of misconceptions out there today about RFID. I encourage everyone to get informed and get protected. Please go to IDStronghold.com and get the facts and the wallet, sleeves, or badge holders you need to protect your personal financial data. You'll be pleasantly surprised that through our direct sales model, you won't pay more than other comparable unprotected wallets. It is as though the protection is free. Visit IDStronghold.com today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to chat with Dan Oliver. Dan, we had to cut you off at the tail end of the last segment. We apologize for that. But you were talking about how the markets need to reflect, or at least the underlying stocks need to reflect, some sort of a future discounted cash flow of the companies. But then also relating this to back in 1929, people think, or at least have it in their mind, that the markets just went through one major collapse. That wasn't actually the case, and something that people need to be aware of when we look at the markets today.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the point of the 29 analogy, and it wasn't just 29, it was all the previous dozen crashes of market crashes in the previous 150 years. And that is what happens is rates get too low, people do silly things with the money because it's cheap, and then reversion happens, and rates go higher, and the people who use that money to do foolish things become bankrupt. And one of the ways that happens, the market goes down. But it's a mistake to think the way it's presented in summary history is that one day in October of 1929, the market just crashed 90%. That's not what happened. It took 3 years for the market to go from where it was to the bottom. And that three-year period was marked by huge volatility, including huge upswings. And the day after the day that's recorded as the Great Crash, the next 2 days saw an 18% rise in the market. So if you were short, it was wonderful, except you never knew when to get out. So short sellers got absolutely crushed in those giant countercyclical moves. And the longs, of course, held on, and they wound up being bankrupt as well. So the point is, I think, it's, as I said earlier, it's very hard to look at a chart of the market and figure out where it's going. And what you have to do is think about the credit cycle that drives the market and where interest rates are, where discount rates are, where they should be, and where you think they're going to go. Are they going lower because the credit bubble is still expanding? Or is the credit bubble shrinking? Is it collapsing? And therefore, rates have to go higher. And what are the implications then for asset prices?
Let's compare, Dan, the sophistication of the market players in 1929, 1930, and 1931 as compared to the present day. I would maintain that the players today are much more sophisticated than they were then. You think I'm way off base on that?
Oh, no, I think you're right. I mean, again, when you look at the actual history of 29, it was very unsophisticated players, and it's actually very reminiscent of Chinese investors today, right, who really had no experience in the stock market until they could only go up and put all their savings in on huge margin and then jumped out windows when things didn't go their way. So you don't have those kinds of excesses. But what you do have is a central bank that is vastly, vastly more powerful than it was in the 20s. The 20s, you still had, it wasn't the gold standard, it was the gold exchange standard, but it still did base something at a certain level. I mean, gold did still leave banks and require them to, they had to convert your dollars to gold, and that had an influence on interest rates. The Fed could only push things so far, and in fact, that's the reason why when the crash came, the Fed finally stepped back. They had no choice, because had they intervened, they would have lost all their gold. And today we don't have that correction mechanism, and that's why this credit bubble has been able to go on so much longer and so much further than ever before. It's not because market participants are less sophisticated, it's because the power of the state to move rates in the direction they want is unfettered. But there is a limit to that, and the Chinese are seeing that right now. You know, the Chinese want to support all these asset prices in terms of stocks, in terms of housing, in terms of iron ore, all these commodities. And yet what you see is pork prices are record high and going higher, and pork prices are the main staple for Chinese that they like to eat. And so you've got this problem where they can control one set of prices, but they can't control the pricing relationships. And you're going to get the same problem here. If I'm correct, and we're in the credit bubble that the Fed has blown up since 2009 is now contracting, that's going to start happening at an accelerated pace. And the Fed at some point will feel the pressure to intervene. But when they do, I have no doubt the Fed can change the price level by printing less of money. But what they can't do is control price relationships. And so you'll start seeing things like food prices start going crazy if and when they come out and start printing money wholesale to support the asset markets.
Now, Dan, one step past the Fed and other central banks, in the U.S., where do the too big to fail banks fit into this?
Well, I mean, it's a great point. You know, people forget, I think, sometimes. There was a lot of talk about derivatives in 2008 and 2009, and that talk's gone off the table. No one talks about it anymore because they think the regulators have taken care of it. They have not. The derivative positions are absolutely enormous. These banks have derivative positions, you know, 100 times their net capital ratio. And Bank of America, I think, or Wells Fargo has, I think, $31 trillion of derivatives on their balance sheet. I think J.P. Morgan's even more than that.
But the banks have only gotten bigger.
Yeah, they've only gotten bigger, but they've gotten so big that, again, the prospect of the failing is too terrifying for the Fed to contemplate. So they're supposed to have all these plans to shut down. That's all nonsense. You know, Paul Singer, who's a big hedge fund guy, said at one point that he had his 130 investment analysts try to analyze some of these bank balance sheets, and they couldn't do it because they're so opaque. And I don't think the banks can do it internally. I have friends who work at some of these banks, and they don't know what's in their balance sheets. The Fed probably doesn't know. So no one knows really what's in these things. And when they blow up, it's going to be tremendous, and the Fed, I think, is going to panic the way they did last time and say, hey, we need, you know, a TARP on a much bigger scale to keep these things going or to put the money or do lots of things. I think that's why at that day we're not going to see asset prices go down in terms of the 1920 levels, down 90%, because long before that, the Fed will print the money, but the effect will be the same. In other words, the economic value of those things can go down the same way. But from 1968, you know, at the top of the market in the 60s, the bottom of the market in the 1980s, nominally it didn't do so badly, but in terms of gold, it went down 90%. And I think the same thing will happen this time.
Why do you think it's going to happen in gold? I mean, a number of analysts came out the day that we happened to be recording this segment, which was less than 24 hours ago, on Friday afternoon. It was interesting that a number of technicians in that particular sector came out and said, with the way the trend lines are going right now, there's no way that gold is going to do anything but go down to a minimum of $1,000 an ounce. Any comments on that?
Personally, I don't worry about charts that much. I mean, I think all those chartists have those, they're wonderful triangles and lines, and then when it doesn't go the way they say, oh, well, you know, the chart pattern failed. Could it go down? Sure, it could go down. And the reason gold could go down more is because when you get a liquidity crisis, what that means is that there's a shortage of currency. Don't forget, there's $4 trillion of base money, more or less, and there's about $90 trillion of debt in the economy. So how do you pay back $90 trillion of debt with $4 trillion of money? You can't. And what happens is you get a short squeeze in dollars, the dollars become tremendously valuable, and so asset prices fall. So I can see that happening. I can see gold going lower. But in the context of a short squeeze in dollars, that takes down the debt markets and the equity markets with it. And that is what will evoke the Fed response that then will send gold to the stratosphere. And trying to time the transformation, I think, is a very risky maneuver because it's a one-time shift. And if you miss it, then you've permanently damaged your capital.
Well, I think that's a good comment to end this here on, Dan, is that it is, I think, good to look at charts if you are a trader in that sense. But if you are looking at protecting your capital and a more long-term outlook, then you need to look past what the charts are telling you today into what you think will happen in terms of the overall economy, credit bubbles, and what the Fed will do, because the Fed is a major player. All central banks are a major player in the direction right now. It's always enjoyable chatting with you. Thank you again for your time. Everybody, stick around. We're going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com. Enhancing health and privacy.
Most of us already know that taking a fish oil supplement to boost omega-3s is a good idea. But did you know that about 60% of Americans are actually deficient in omega-3s? Did you know that most fish oil products contain only about 25% omega-3s and the remaining 75% is undesirable fish fat? Heck, did you know that more than 90% of fish oil supplements sold in the USA are not even made here? If you want to boost your omega-3s using the finest American-made fish oil, check out Nutrigold Fish Oil Supplements on www.fishoil.best. Nutrigold fish oils are independently 5-star certified and guaranteed to be exceptionally pure. That means no more fish burps. Best of all, just one Nutrigold fish oil capsule contains more omega-3s than 4 standard fish oil capsules. Go to www.fishoil.best or call 888-920-1497 and use promo code BESTFISHOIL to get a free 1-month supply. That's www.fishoil.best or call 888-920-1497.
The human body is more than 60% water. Your brain and muscles are 75% water. And your blood is 92% water. Water is vital to your body, and alkalizing your water is the key to keep it running at its best. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops keep your entire body healthy, boosts energy, promotes weight loss, and even fights cancer. Call 800-518-7615 or go to AlkaVision.com to find out more. That's ALKAVision.com.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out...
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once. Twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
My name is Dell, and I live in El Cajon, California. I was concerned about my cholesterol readings because I knew that high cholesterol is related to clogging of the arteries and increases the risk for heart attack and stroke. One day, I heard an ad for Heart and Body Extract, and I was skeptical, but I decided to give it a try. Man, the numbers don't lie.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at HBExtract.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You know, Corey and I are chatting right now with Chuck Ravini. Chuck is the president of NatCore Technologies, a company that both Corey and I and Doc, who's also involved in this particular call, are invested in, been invested in this for quite some time. Now, you put out a message from the president that was released on Wednesday, the 9th of September, that I thought was really, really good. It was a great overall summary of what's been going on with NatCore. The one thing I want to focus on here, Chuck, if you don't mind, and that is into the meat, for lack of better terms, of this particular missive. You said there is another significant benefit of this NatCore cell. Traditional cells lose energy when they are placed into a module or solar panel. Take a very sophisticated solar cell and, in essence, put it in a glass box or solar panel. Power is lost for a variety of reasons, such as heat inefficiencies in stringing the cells together, etc. This is referred to as cell-to-module energy loss. Obviously, you have gotten past that challenge. Can you talk about that
Yes, actually, that's a very important component because that cell to module energy loss is anywhere from 6 to 10%. And it's something that exists in the industry. And there are coming a certain number of manufacturers of panels that now have a certain technology that if you can deliver to them the right cell with the back contact, which is what we've done, then they can put it into their unique panel that eliminates, in fact, Eurotron, the company that we have a joint development agreement with, actually has a gain with respect to that cell-to-module loss. So it's a cell-to-module gain. So it's a huge benefit, and it's something that is really just a byproduct of what our technology has done. As we progress, you know, through this evolution of where we are now with the back contact, no silver cell, one of the things that we did in the design of that is we recognized that we wanted to make sure we had a cell that was conducive to being integrated into this type of panel.
Now, Chuck, have you gone past simply manufacturing the cell on more or less a one-off basis to see how it would integrate into a more manufacturing line to be put in higher numbers to these panels?
What we're doing right now is that we are getting cells, or at least wafers, from Eurotron, our development partner, and they're a slightly different size than the industry uses. So what we're doing is taking those wafers and putting our technology, our back contacts, et cetera, on those wafers to turn them into cells, after which we will send them back to Eurotron, and they will put them into their pilot line. So we're in the process now of taking what we've done in the lab and converting it so it'll fit into their modules.
How many cells are you or NatCore in general able to produce through this process right now, or have you gotten to that level yet?
We're still producing them at one at a time, but in essence, the one at a time is very quick. We basically have the biggest problem we have right now is we go through too many wafers because we can make them very quickly because the process is so simple. But we're not going to be in the production business. So what we're doing is taking this cell that we have, we'll now start showing it to people who are in the production business, and they will integrate it into their mass-produced function, which is somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,000 to 3,000 cells per hour.
Chuck, you summarized this particular missive by saying that you hope that this helps clarify the last few announcements and shows how they are not fragmented events, but the result of a well-thought-out plan with very methodical and disciplined steps to bring a truly game-changing product to the industry. You know, I thought that we tried to make that clear, but maybe we didn't. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Well, you know, I think, you know, sometimes with us anyhow, is you can't see the forest for the trees. And, you know, we're very excited as to what we're doing. And with us, we know exactly what our the next step is. But sometimes, you know, we're getting some input from shareholders saying, you have a lot of technologies that you're doing, you know, what's happening and how come we don't see this? So I felt this letter was important to try to put it all together, you know, again, for people who are very interested in NatCore, but they're not as involved in it on a day-to-day basis as we are. So I wanted to make sure that everybody understood that this is not a fragmented process. You know, we're very structured. We're very disciplined. We've got timelines, and we're using our resources to meet those timelines and really deliver something that is not, you know, helter-skelter, but something that is very methodical and that the industry really needs, and we feel strongly that it's going to take over the whole industry.
Chuck, I have to say, as we have been following NatCore, I've liked the progression of the news, and I guess for people maybe that don't totally understand how a solar cell needs to progress, and I have to admit, you have taught me a lot about this, but starting off with the back contact, moving through building efficiencies in the cell, and then finally lowering costs by all but eliminating or fully eliminating silver from the cell, it is all starting to come together now, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like the next step right now is to go to these big manufacturers and get it integrated into what they do now.
That's exactly right, and perhaps the most important sentence in this note that I wrote, is when we say that we look for the best platform for this technology. We have all these things. What is the best platform? And the HIT cell, the heterojunction cell with intrinsic thin layers, you know, that's a mouthful. But the reason it's important, it was a process that was developed by Panasonic and Sharp, and it achieved the highest efficiencies, 25%. But it also cost 50% more to make. So it was dying a natural death. No one was interested in it. So we've taken that platform and found ways we think we can reduce those costs so that they're the same or maybe even less than traditional cells. So finding that platform and integrating all our technologies, that's the most important sentence in this document.
Chuck, I just have one question, and maybe this is difficult to answer because it probably is influenced by a number of variables. But how far as a time frame do you see before you're going to be able to introduce this to manufacturers?
What we want to do is walk into a manufacturer with leverage. And what makes you a good negotiator is leverage. If you don't have leverage, you're a bad negotiator, no matter how many books you read. So what we're trying to do is to make sure we walk into a manufacturer with a 20% plus sell with this back contact, no silver. And that's what we feel as though is a home run with any of the manufacturers. And we're hoping to achieve that literally within a couple months.
What exactly do you have planned for the next couple of months to bring this to fruition, Chuck?
One of the weak points in our process is actually getting quality wafers. Getting wafers that have this amorphous silicon on it, you know, again, the thin intrinsic layer. We make these in our lab, but we don't make them as good as a big manufacturer would. So we've engaged an organization in Europe to give us these high quality wafers that we feel will be able to get us that extra 2 or 3% to get us to that 20% number. So we feel the missing link right now is not in what we're doing. Because that's been pretty consistent. It's just that we need a better quality foundation or wafer to make this work.
Well, Chuck, I have to say, I like where NatCore has been going, and it sounds like the direction you're taking is a good one. In full disclosure, Al, myself, and Doc are all shareholders of NatCore. We have been shareholders for a number of months now. I continue, as I mentioned, to like the direction. I like the progression of the HIT cell, and I hope to, you know, see it in the hands of some manufacturers fairly soon, and that could be, as you mentioned, quite the boost to the company. If anybody wants to check out the stock symbol of NatCore, it is traded on the Venture Exchange under the symbol NXT, and the OTCQB in NTCXF. Chuck, always enjoy chatting with you. You can also click on the banner ad to the right on our website for more information on the company. Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't take on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
That's the sound your brain makes when you realize you're buying something and forgot the coupon. Online or in a store, knowing that you're missing a deal is the worst. You need the app from RetailMeNot right now. Get thousands of coupons from 50,000 stores like Kohl's, Domino's, Best Buy, and more with crazy deals like 60% off, free shipping, and free gifts with purchase. You can get a text invite to download the RetailMeNot app 100% free right now for Apple or Android. Just text the code UPDATE to 42767. Then just show your phone at checkout to save. It literally couldn't be easier. It's 2015. Keep your coupon
coupons in your phone. Stop what you're doing and text UPDATE to 42767. Listeners will get a text with a link to download it 100% free. Never forget another coupon again. Text the code UPDATE to 42767 right now. That's UPDATE to 42767. Message and data rates may apply. For terms and privacy, visit RetailMeNot.com.
Healthy, organic, fresh fish, robust, mouth-watering vegetables, all from your home. It's called aquaponics. This brilliant, self-sustaining protein and veggie system is perfect for year-round growing. Know exactly where your food is coming from. AquaponicsSource.com is the one-stop shop for all your needs. Fish, fish food, plumbing, full systems, classes, and more. Learn to build your own system. Go to AquaponicsSource.com for a free guide to aquaponics. That's AquaponicsSource.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Olson, Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention, Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
Okay, welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. We have a very, very interesting guest we're speaking with right now. It's an honor to have him on the show. His name is George Giro. George is the precious metals strategist for RBC. He is also the past president of the International Precious Metals Institute, and George is also a managing director of RBC Wealth Management. I think I got most of them in there. Vice president and managing director. George, what I want to talk to you about initially is Corey and I had an interesting conversation recently with a fellow who I know down here in the area that we live in. Conversation dealt with the disparity between server delivery right now, delivery times, and the various premiums that investors have to pay. My friend Martin was interested in purchasing silver rounds, which is what my wife and I purchased, and he was looking at up to a six-week delay from a dealer here in Bellingham, Washington, and he was also looking at paying a $2.50 premium. Now, $2.50 based on the current paper price of silver is about 20%, just a little bit under 20%, and he thought that was a bit on the high side. Why is that the case right now, George?
Well, I can tell you that sometimes dealers in different parts of the country will have different inventories, different lag times, different assay and possible smelter times, and maybe they don't have their own, and maybe they have to order and buy from each other. Now, recently, silver has gone through a lot of gyrations. Number one, cross currents between being poor man's gold and moving up and down in price along with gold, or crude oil, as the case may be, or within the many commodity funds that trade metals, where they have to sell everything in order to raise cash at certain times, waiting for redemptions, or they're in a buying mode for asset allocation purposes when their shareholders demand it. Right now, it's kind of in a no man's land at about $14.60. And silver is more industrial use than gold, and so silver does take a look very sharply, the silver trader does, at how crude oil is behaving, how Dr. Copper is behaving, how the stock market is behaving, and what economic outlook is in order to try to maintain a semblance of order in their warehousing and delivery process. Now, the most interesting way to track silver is to look at SLV, which is one of the ETFs, or the futures contract for the nearest largest open interest deliverable, which right now would be December contract. SLV is based on the COMEX bar, which is deliverable in Delaware, a no-tax state, or you can take a look at PHYS, which is a deliverable in Toronto, the Sprott contract, and these are good ETFs for tracking purposes for pricing. And silver, of course, is interesting to a lot of dealers because the demand for silver was stagnant somewhat because India had a very large tax on gold and many of the shops were not doing a gold business and were not doing as much silver business because of events in India from the Modi government that taxed everything very highly. Now they're easing the tax, and we don't know if it's in time for the wedding season and whether deliverable silver will be more or less in demand in India. In the other Far East countries, gold seems to be more important. Recently, as gold sold off because crude oil sold off and the markets generally sold off, the central banks bought, the ones that were buying were Russia and China. And the seller of gold was Colombia. And that was all dollar related. And so there are so many events that affect it that the average dealer, never mind the investor, has trouble keeping track of it.
Now, George, a quick comment that I have on silver. I like silver long term, short term. I'm a bit hesitant to say that it will go through a major rise, but I think silver can sometimes set up very nicely because it does have that blend of a precious metal and industrial use. So if the industrial uses or the industrial complex is growing, which unfortunately it is not right now, silver gets a buy on that end. And then also through the preservation of wealth, thanks to the precious metal status, silver does have the opportunity to run quite a bit. Unfortunately, right now, both factors are going against it. That being said, talking about gold here, what is your outlook for gold based on the number of open contracts, because I know that you pay very close attention to that, and just your feeling about the slowdown in China and the continued Fed speak about possibly raising interest rates?
I think that the traders are waiting the Fed move more anxiously when it comes to gold than any other commodity. But traders are also looking at the behavior of crude, and they're looking at the behavior of the stock market. And in the term that I have been following for many, many years, the open interest changes in gold have not really been that significant lately. In fact, if I'm looking at today's figures, we're somewhere around 412,000 contracts of open interest in the futures. Yesterday was 411,000, and last Monday was 415,000. If you go back a little bit, last that horrible week of August 24th on, gold was up to 444,000 in open interest, so that any sell-off was liquidation and any rally was short covering. And a lot of open interest is tied up now, I think, in the options on the futures, because there are a lot of people who trade the options as a sort of hedge against the futures contract and the ETFs. And the reason for that is the ETF, the GLD, the largest one, and IAU, which is the next largest in size of a bar, 100-ounce bar, is taxed as a collectible by the regular accounts by the IRS for Americans. And therefore, if they need long-term, short-term capital gains or losses, they trade options against it that are listed on the COMEX. And the funds are very, very attuned to the option trading. And so the volatility kind of jumps when you're near option expiration, because options on the COMEX become futures contracts the next day. They tend to expire usually on the 25th or 26th of the month. And after that, it comes first notice day when there's no margin, because all those future contracts have to be either cash or make or take delivery. So that's where a lot of volatility comes in, especially when you have an extra impetus to volatility, like the 1,000-point down on that Monday in August. And up.
I have always been a very enthusiastic believer in a positive impact being played by China on the gold market, and I felt that way since at least 2005. That's a lot of years. But having said that, you know, people banter back and forth the fact that we don't really know what the numbers are coming out of China, et cetera, et cetera. But what's your gut level feeling? Are they still buyers at this moment in time? And if you think they are, tell us why, if you would.
Yes, I do believe they are buyers. And they've been buying it not because they need it. They actually like to have a backup for their currency, which they devalued recently, but more important, it is their way of getting rid of excess dollars. And they are large holders of U.S. Treasury securities. And the way to get rid of excess dollars from the to keep the balance of payments where they like it to be is in gold. So the last go around last month, that we were able to track in July, the Chinese bought gold, the Russians bought gold, and Colombia sold gold. And that is all dollar related, and that is the heart of the transaction at this time. Now, for now, gold is off the radar as the stock market has regained some 225 points upside today. And so gold is somewhat weak. I believe once we start to see inflation, and once we start to see when and if the Fed actually raises rates, after that, I think we're going to see an improvement in the gold market if there is inflation.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corwin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it, so decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.